welcome to this special call of the Life School. It's a special call because it's at a time of the year that everybody recognizes in their own way is special. So why is it special? We're talking now to you in the last part of December. The last part of December is a time of the year that has got overlays to it. And those overlays are religious and commercial. In December, we think, in the Western world anyway, often of Christmas or Hanukkah. But I want to talk to you about this part of the year apart from this religious overlay. I want to talk to you about this part of the year apart from Santa Claus. Santa Claus is a relative newcomer. And Santa Claus represents the commercial context of this part of the year. But beneath that is power that does not have to do with the religious or the commercial overlays of the latter part of December. In the latter part of December, a special astronomical event occurs, not astrological, not mystical, but an event that is explained in five sensory terms by the rotation of the Earth around the Sun and the revolution of the Earth around the Sun on its axis and the tilt of its axis as the Earth rotates on that axis. And this is called a solstice. In this case, in the Northern Hemisphere, it's called the winter solstice. Do you know what a solstice is? Well, let's start with the winter solstice. The winter solstice is that time of the year where the day is shortest and the night is longest. It's that time of the year where the light is least and the darkness is greatest. And of course, there's a great deal of symbolism in that. The symbolism that I want to talk to you about is not darkness in the sense of despair, depression, gloom, sadness, but darkness simply in the sense of light is least, darkness is greatest, darkness is a time of incubation, darkness is a time of gestation, darkness is a time in which seeds grow under the earth. That's the winter solstice. Now, the interesting thing is, if you're living in Australia or New Zealand or in the Southern Hemisphere, then at this very time, you are experiencing the summer solstice. The summer solstice is the opposite of the winter solstice. At the summer solstice, the days are longest and the nights are shortest. The light is greatest and the darkness least. Here in the Northern Hemisphere, where Linda and I are sitting now, the summer solstice comes in June. Usually it's around June the 21st, and the winter solstice usually comes in the Northern Hemisphere and in the Southern Hemisphere. You see what I mean? There are two dynamics going on at the same time that are really the same. They are the solstices, but in one half of the Earth, on one half of the Earth, it's the winter solstice with long nights and short days, and on the other half of the Earth, it's the summer solstice. Long days and short nights. Isn't that a beautiful balance? There's symbolism in that too, an exquisite and undisturbable balance. So now let's get back here to the Northern Hemisphere and to the winter solstice. Often people think of this time of the year as a time of sometimes depression, sometimes sadness. In fact, psychologists have even talked about this experience as seasonal affective disorder, SAD. This is not what we're talking about when we talk about the winter solstice. We're talking about a powerful time when all of potential has gradually been contracting into one seed. And that contraction, that packing of potential into one seed, reaches its maximal point at the winter solstice. That's very close to here at that time. And at the winter solstice, something wonderful, remarkable happens. The direction of the energy changes 180 degrees. At that point at the winter solstice, where the potential is most dense, most packed into one seed, expansion begins. You can't see that expansion, you can't see that shift happen if you're in a snow-covered forest with bare trees and it's bitter cold, but it happened. It happened. Potential is now expanding. You won't see it until the spring, but the spring is already in motion beneath the frozen earth.
So it's an energetic dynamic that begins to appear physically later on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Later on.
I love that.
Here we are, close to the winter solstice, and we won't see seeds sending up shoots and sprouts until the spring. And then those sprouts grow and grow. And at the summer solstice, they are at their maximal expression. And at the summer solstice, at that point, that moment of maximal expression of potential comes to a completion. And the direction reverses again. Mm-hmm. Now the energy again begins to move inward. You can't see that shift if you're standing in a wheat field in June. You can't see it if you're in your garden in June. But already the withering of the leaves has begun. Already, the autumn and the winter are approaching, and they will continue to approach until that maximal point of compression of potential. The seed of potential is most pregnant and fecund, and at that moment, at the winter solstice, the direction changes again.
I love looking at the seasons, and I'm wondering what this has to do with authentic power, beloved, because to me it's really important to understand how these seasons fit in with our lives and what's happening with us and what that has to do with creating authentic power or not.
That's a good question. So to start to answer it, let me point out that midway between the solstices are the equinoxes.
Mm-hmm.
Equinox comes from the same root as equal. At the fall equinox, which is midway between the summer and the winter solstice, the day and the night are equal in length.
In both hemispheres.
In both hemispheres.
Yes.
Both the southern and the northern. So we go from the solstice to the equinox to the solstice, and then again to another equinox and another solstice. So this dynamic is the rhythm or the pattern of life in the Earth School. Our Native American relatives saw that very clearly. Excuse me. For them, the medicine wheel expresses this. The medicine wheel, if you haven't seen one, is a circle with two lines, a horizontal and a vertical, intersecting at the center, dividing the circle into four quadrants. And there are multitudes, maybe an infinite number of ways of saying what each of the quadrants represent. They represent spring, summer, autumn, winter.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the solstices and the equinoxes that we've been talking about. They also represent infancy, and then youth, and then adulthood, and then old age. Those are part of the cycles of life, and they're reflected in spring, summer, autumn, and winter. There are deeper, non-physical causes of this dynamic within the Earth School. But it's enough that you know that beneath the approach of winter and the winter solstice, beneath that is this powerful dynamic of potential compressing, and at the powerful moment of the solstice in the winter, beginning to expand again. So our lives go through cycles similar to this. And to answer your question, beloved, Creating authentic power has to do with your awareness of this, with your allowing it to happen, and still creating authentic power, not allowing yourself to be controlled by anything that appears within you or outside of you.
Example?
You might have what, from a five-century perspective, appears to be a tragedy. Maybe a child dies in May or June, close to the summer solstice in the northern hemisphere. And that creates so many emotions, powerful emotions in you. Maybe frightened parts of your personality that are experiencing grief, loss, remorse, anger. You can still challenge them. You might say you're in one part of the medicine wheel, one part of the season of life, in microcosm. You can still challenge frightened parts of your personality and cultivate loving parts of your personality. In fact, if you don't, you won't be creating authentic power, and you can't be creating authentic power. You'll be swept away by these emotions. You'll be controlled by them, and you'll think, this is all there is, and there's no way that I can challenge this fear or that I can cultivate this love. Well, of course, everybody likes to cultivate love because it feels so good. But sometimes fear masquerades as love. You get what a frightened part of your personality wants, for example, a partner that you wanted because you feel that partner is needed to complete you in some way or bring certain characteristics into your life, like tenderness or intuition or the ability to get things done and to manifest in the world. And then suddenly you're happy because you've got that partner. But that won't last. The honeymoon will go away.
So that, in other words, when you say everyone likes to cultivate love, I think most people don't know that they even have a choice to cultivate love. I think that they feel when they're angry that they need to express their anger or judge people or close their heart. So I don't think that that's always true, that not everyone even knows they have that choice.
Yes. Thank you, beloved. Thank you, beloved.
You're welcome.
I should have said more clearly, everyone loves to experience love because it feels so good.
Absolutely.
But if you're not aware of it as the experience of a loving part of your personality, then you might mistake it for a fleeting, wonderful moment, a transient experience of fulfillment, something that just happens, and you're so happy that it did. But when you recognize it as the experience of a loving part of your personality, then you can say to yourself, this is that. This is a loving part of my personality that I'm experiencing, and I'm going to make a note of it. I'm not going to let this go away like I would forget a dream that feels so good. I'm going to remember this so that I can cultivate it, so that I can call upon it when I'm in a frightened part of my personality and I'm challenging that part of my personality. I can call upon this experience. I can say, that's where I want to go. I want to step into that energy again. Even if I'm feeling anger or jealousy or resentment, that is the part of my personality that I choose to act from, to set an intention from. That's cultivating a loving part of your personality. So now let's return to the solstices and the equinoxes, the medicine wheel, the seasons of your life, and understand that you can know and honor these powerful dynamics and at the same time be aware of the emotional currents within you so that you can distinguish between love and fear and choose love no matter what is happening inside of you. Maybe you're lonely. Maybe you're feeling, I wish I were home for Christmas. Maybe I'm feeling, I wish I were in a warmer place or a place where the sun is shining. Can challenge that. The winter solstice is not the same as fear. The winter solstice is a dynamic, a part of the rhythm of life. When you have frightened parts of your personality that occur in the winter, you can recognize them for what they are and challenge them. You don't need to be controlled by them. That's what I wanted to say, beloved, in answer to your question?
Yes, I was thinking of medicine wheel, and there's always a center to the medicine wheel, no matter what season we're talking about, whether it's the beginning when you first come in, when you're a baby, or when you're a youth, or when you're adult, or when you're an elder, hopefully a conscious elder. In
yes.
the center of that circle, there's always your free will. You can use your will to choose love rather than fear, and more and more often, and the further you are in the seasons, maybe the more ability you have to do that. So to remember that you always have that possibility, whether it's the seasons of spring, summer, fall, or winter, or what season you are in your life. Maybe you're in adulthood. Maybe you're an elder or becoming one. When you have, even in those seasons, you can go to the middle of a circle. That's what I'm thinking of. That is the place where you can decide whether you're going to choose love or fear in every moment.
Yes, Linda's talking about a very powerful part. Linda's talking about a very powerful part of the medicine wheel that not a lot of people know about it, but where the lines cross in the center, that's volition. That means you choose whatever part of the medicine wheel you are in, what you're going to do, and you're responsible for it.
Mm.
That's beautifully put, beloved. So we are here to honor these powerful cycle, the powerful cycle of life. And by the way, as you use your volition, your experiences, this the part of the cycle of life that you're in will help you see, will show you your experiences in different ways. And as you become an elder, as Linda and I are becoming elders, then you begin to see different options that occur to you that didn't occur to me, for example, when I was a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I'm an elder, what occurs to me is to cultivate supporting young people. And you can look at where you are, what season of life you are in, if you're a young teenager, if you're in college, if you're a young adult, if you're just starting to work, if you're just starting a family, if you're becoming middle age, if you're moving into 50s or 60s or 70s, wherever you are chronologically, you're in a season of your life. And within that season of your life, emotions continue to come all of the time, because your thoughts and your experiences activate them within you. And every time one is activated, you have the opportunity to create authentic power or to remain powerless.
Well, I love the looking at myself as my will being in the center of my circle, my wholeness. And that I choose, no matter where I'm at or no matter what season it is and what season of life I'm in, that I can choose to create from love rather than fear all the time.
Exactly. So looking at volition as the center of the medicine wheel, the center of the cycle of life, brings us right back to authentic power, because volition is at the center of creating authentic power. Of course, you need intention, commitment, compassion, courage, but choice is the engine of our evolution. We evolve individually and as a species depending upon the choices that we make. And the choice that counts is the choice of intention. And essentially, basically, fundamentally, inescapably, there are two: love and fear. And as you choose love, you begin to create authentic power. And that's how we evolve. That's how we move into our full potential. That's how we give the gifts we were born to give.
Yes. It's easy to say this, beloved, but what I've found over all these years that I've been practicing that, is that it's not so easy to do it. So to really do that takes all my will sometimes to say, I am not going to act from this part of me that wants to judge someone else.
Let's say that it takes your will to choose love.
Yes.
Then it takes your courage to stay with that decision.
Ah, there
we
go.
To implement that decision.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Well, it's been a joy to talk
with
you. What
a joy.
About the seasons of life, about the winter solstice and the summer solstice. We have, we are going to have a special call at the end of this, at the end of the question and answer period is going to follow. We'll describe that to you on the, at the end of the question and answer series, but we just want to let you know that you're invited to a call that will come just after
11 o'clock Pacific time. Yes.
So we are going to...
but right now we're going to...
Right now we're going to go to our conference calling system mm-hmm. so that we can answer your questions. I'm looking forward to
and
them.
And share more with you.
and yeah. share more with you. This will take about 2 minutes, so use that time to look at your intentions, to think about what you've heard, to see if you have any questions so that you
yes.
can ask them to us, and we'll be right back.
Indeed.